the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, you'll be blessed if you hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, for you're going to be filled. You're going to be satisfied. Nothing satisfies but Jesus. Amen. Nothing satisfies the souls of born-again believers, amen, like the sanctifying work of God in our lives. I want to talk today about pursuing holiness. That's an important subject with God. In fact, it is a requirement of God, pursuing holiness. The word holiness and sanctification are one and the same in the original Greek. And it means being separated to God. Separated to God and separated from evil. And it means how we're going to conduct and live our lives on a daily basis. How I live my life. How I live my life when no one else is around. How I conduct my life. My attitudes toward people. My love for people. My love for the lost. Do I have a heart for the lost? Do I see the soul's value? That every soul is valuable to the Lord. And every soul is going somewhere in eternity. There are souls today that will go out into eternity. There was an earthquake in Nepal, a large earthquake, and 1,400 people went into eternity. They are in eternity right now as I speak. You know, that's sobering, isn't it? And without Jesus Christ, there is no eternal life. Pursuing holiness. How important is holiness? What is holiness? Just asking these questions. Can I achieve holiness in my own efforts? Well, I don't believe so. And as I progress in this message today, I want it to be very clear that this is part of our salvation. God is faithful. Amen. And He's doing a great work. And we need to believe Him for it. There are many attitudes toward God concerning eternal life. One attitude is that once you're saved, you're always saved. Another attitude is that grace covers everything. And that we need to believe the right way, and that from the cross, we were totally sanctified. And we got an A+ on our righteousness. And sin is no longer an issue with God. But I'm here to tell you as your pastor, that's a lie. Five out of seven churches in the book of Revelation was called to repent because of sin. One said, if you don't repent, I will blot your name out of the book of life. Only to the overcomer do we have that hope. To another, he said, and I really believe the church in America, and I'm not down on the church. I pray for the church. I pray for this church. I pray that God will bring into this body a reality of who He is, and our walk with God will be set on fire. I don't want to be lukewarm when Jesus comes. To the church of Laodicea, he said, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That was what King James says. That translates out, I will vomit you out of my mouth. He said, I want you either hot or cold. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out. That'd be a terrible place to be in, wouldn't it? You know, in Matthew 24, he talks about his coming. And he wound it up by talking about someone saying, if anyone says that the Lord delays His coming and begins to treat His fellow servants. Listen, how you treat one another is important. You may not physically beat them up, but you may not, if you don't love them the way God wants us to love each other, that's serious business. He concluded that they would be judged along with the unbelievers. That's serious. Then chapter 25, he opens it with the parable of the virgins. How many of you read the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins? They were all virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Some were, in the life. They all were virgins, but something happened in their walk with God that disqualified them when the bridegroom came. And I tell you today, I believe it's this matter of holiness. I believe it's a matter of giving ourselves to the Spirit of God and letting Christ be formed in us. This is not a popular message, but this is the message of God. Amen. We have been called to Him with that purpose. And I believe this with all of my heart, that only God can do that. Webster defines holiness as the state or the quality of being holy. And this is not an attitude of being holier than thou. I believe the more that we become more like Him, the more in humility and brokenness we will walk. And I believe that the more in thankfulness that we will give to the Lord. Lord, I am so grateful for Your saving grace that's upon my life and the work that You're doing in me right now. I thank You for that. He used the word sanctity, which means holiness, saintliness. How many of you know that we are saints of God? Amen? And we need the conduct of the saint of God. It means godliness. It means without, it means sacred or hallowed character. You know, thank you, Jesus. God requires in each of us holiness. Do you believe that? He requires that. You know, sometimes people may think, well, God just loves me and it really doesn't matter how I conduct my life. Oh, yes, it does. Something went wrong in those five foolish virgins, and I believe they got careless, and they didn't have the oil. They didn't have, which represents the Holy Spirit. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And when Christ came, they weren't ready. They were on the wrong side of the door. I don't want to be on the wrong side of the door. They were pounding on that door, and they were saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, open to us. Lord, we have eaten, drunk with You. We know You, Lord. And Jesus said, I don't know you. I didn't know you. Boy, that's a terrible thought, isn't it? Why did Jesus put that in there? Because our walk with God is serious. It's very serious. He requires it. In fact, for me to stand here and say that God demands holiness is a fact, because God is holy. He demands that. Holiness is necessary. It's indispensable. It's absolutely necessary. It's essential. It's incapable of being disregarded or neglected. My life before God must be lived out in holiness unto the Lord. Don't let that word scare you. There's been a lot of holiness movements. This isn't something the way that you look on the outward. This is a transformation of the heart. This is a supernatural transformation that God does in the heart of man, recovering your heart and giving you His heart and making us to be conformed to the very nature and image of Jesus, the pattern Son. Thank you, Father. Hebrews 2:3 says this, ask the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, that word neglect means that you just make light of it. Now, we need to give all of our attention to our salvation and to our Lord, what He is doing, what He's called us to. We need to daily zero in on our walk with God and lay our lives before the Lord. And we need to daily, as David cried out, Lord, search me, try me, prove me. See if there's some way in me that needs to be changed. Only God knows my heart. You look on the outward, but God looks on my heart. And I say, God, I want Your heart. I want Your heart. And I know this is the desire of every person in this room. When you stand before God, you want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. How shall we escape? Well, the answer was found in Hebrews 12:25, and it simply says, we shall not escape if we neglect so great a salvation. So there is no escaping if we neglect it. The five foolish virgins, they no doubt neglected their salvation. They didn't take it seriously. They didn't give themselves to the Spirit. They, no doubt, sowed to their flesh. How many of you know that sowing to the flesh will bring a reaping of corruption and death? That's what he said it would do. So God being our Heavenly Father and how he loves us. I preached last week on the reality of the relationship. You know, we need that reality that he is our Father. We are his child. We've been given the spirit of adoption. And the Bible says we cry, Abba, Father. And that word Abba is an endearment. It's a word that it's like daddy or papa would be. And it's an endearment. And you may not understand or you may not even know God in that respect. But you can pray and say, God, I want to know you in that relationship, the father and son relationship. I don't want you to be distant. Lord, I don't want to be distant from you. I want to be close to you. I said the other day when John leaned his head on the breast of Jesus, I believe he was hearing the heartbeat of God. I want to be, and you want to be, close to God that you can hear his heartbeat. In fact, you want his heart to beat in you. You want him to give you his heart. He is your maker, and God is our Father. He makes us. He makes us all that he requires us to be in this subject of holiness through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's all about a relationship. When Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that does the will of the Father. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, we have prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils in your name. We have done many wonderful works in your name. Listen, there would be people say, well, those people were never saved. Those were people just using the name of Jesus. No, I believe those were the foolish that were saved that would not come under his authority and under his lordship and hear his words and through the grace of God do what he says to do. It's in Christ Jesus only that we are made complete. Every need that we have, our Father supplies to us in Christ. You believe that? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, that God has made him to be our wisdom. If you lack wisdom, all you have to do is ask of God. Jesus is that wisdom. How many of you know he is all wise? He is all wise. He is our righteousness. He's made unto us righteousness. You know, my righteousness and your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Yes, but righteousness is not a one-time thing. Righteousness is a way of life. Amen. And if I don't live righteously, if I don't do righteousness, I'm not righteous. That's the word of God. I must receive Jesus Christ into my life and let him be my righteousness. I must submit myself to him and say, Jesus, here I am. Would you live in me? How many of you want the Lord to live big in you? You know, Paul said this, it's no longer I that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. Can we come to that place in our walk with God? Yes, we can. And that is the will of God for our lives. He has made unto us sanctification. He is the one that sanctifies. He not only justifies us, but he sanctifies us. He is our redemption. He is redeeming us. And aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that he paid the debt, amen, and the price, amen, that no one else could pay? We were purchased by his precious blood. Well, thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says this, that we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Where do you want to keep your eyes upon? Who do you want to keep your eyes upon? Jesus. You don't want to look to man. You want to look to Jesus. You want to hear Jesus. You want that relationship with Jesus. You know, man will deceive you. There's so much that's floating around in the Christian circles today that's going to send many souls to hell. You don't want to follow man, you want to follow Jesus. You want to hear what Jesus said. Those are the wholesome words. Those are the healing words. Those are the transforming words. If you hear my words, he said, you'll be wise, and my words will change your life. Hebrews 12, 14 says this. He said, we are to be following peace with all men. How many of you know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. He didn't say, blessed are the troublemakers. The blessed are the peacemakers. Amen? That's the whole nature of God. Amen. Where you go, there should be peace. You carry within you the kingdom of God. It is His righteousness, His peace, and His joy. That's what sets you apart from people in the world. You're a carrier of the kingdom of God. Follow peace with all men. And then it says, and pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. And get this, without which no man will see the Lord. No one will see the Lord without a life of holiness. Thank you, Father. You know, holiness is being separated to God and being delivered from the evil that's in the world. But today, the world has been made so convenient to us, the church. By way of television, you can channel right into your home the world. You can see anything you want on that television. And to go a step further, we have the internet. And you can on the internet, you can have anything that the world has to offer. And let me tell you something, the devil has a lot on the internet to destroy your soul and to take your soul to hell. Got one amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pursuing holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Well, I want to make it very clear, my belief and what I believe the Word of God teaches is that when we are born again, we are justified by grace. We are justified by grace through the imputed righteousness of Christ. What does that mean? That it's Jesus who is my righteousness. It's Jesus who is my righteousness. And being justified now, my walk with God is a walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. And the next verse says this, looking diligently. Who are we looking to? To Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. How many of you know that you can fail the grace of God? Grace isn't just, you know, it just doesn't cover everything and you're A-OK and you got an A-plus and it doesn't matter how you live your life. No, grace, amen, is that power of God operating through His Spirit in your life, operating in your life, and God working in you that which only God can work, and transforming you and recovering your heart for His very own. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I was completely justified, totally declared in a legal manner, that justification is a legal term, that I'm innocent. I'm innocent. All that I was guilty of, I am now innocent. I am not guilty. You, the same, when you call upon the name of Jesus and that blood was applied to your sins, hallelujah, you're totally made just in God's sight, a holy God's sight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I believe this is the first stage of our salvation. It's the foundation of our hope for eternal life. And it's not how we begin, it's how we end in this walk with God. We're His house if we hold that conviction and that confidence with rejoicing, firm unto the end, and we don't cast it away. How many of you know that grace does not take the will away from us? We still have a will. If you read in Romans chapter 6, it talks about how we've been buried with Christ and we've been raised with Christ and how that we are to consider ourselves alive from the dead and yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and that we're to make that choice. And we do have a choice. And we're not under the law any longer, but we're under God's grace. But grace is empowerment when we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't care what you're going through. If you cry out to the Lord, His grace is there, amen, to deliver you and empower you and to give you, amen, that victory of the cross. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Your justification was an act of God. Amen. How many of you know you've been justified? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Our record was changed at that point. How many of you found out, though, that the old you wasn't changed? How many of you found out that your character wasn't altogether changed? Huh? I never will forget when I got saved. I was a naughty boy. And I didn't have a very clean mouth. And I remember the next day going to school, and the next day something come out of my mouth, and I said, oh God. And I go clear across the school grounds, and I get by myself, and I begin to cry out, oh God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. How many of you know that I'm still crying out, oh God, I'm still sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me, oh God. Cleanse me, oh God. Give me that heart. Amen. You know, repentance is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen. Repentance is a gift from God. Amen. And I preached a message one time. I can't sin without knowing it because the Holy Spirit is there to convict me. He doesn't condemn me, but I cannot sin without knowing that I have grieved Him and that my heart will turn and say, oh God, please forgive me and please help me not to do that again. Thank you, Jesus. Well, after we are saved and born again of God's Spirit, we're justified freely in His sight. I believe that there's a second stage of our salvation, and that is called sanctification. And sanctification is not an instantaneous act. Amen? It's a progressive work of God's grace by the Spirit, and it's lived out by faith day by day, and moment by moment. You believe that? As we grow in grace, allowing Christ to be formed in us. The whole purpose of God when He saved us was to conform us to that pattern Son, to His very nature, to His very image. That's the very heart of God. Oh, Jesus, we want to be like You. He begins a work in us. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the day of His appearing. God is at work. God is at work in your life. You may not understand all the ways of God, but I want you to know all the ways of God are righteousness and peace. Amen. God working in you, only what God can work, a deliverance, amen, amen, in your life to His glory. He's bringing you to His glory. Did you know He's preparing us for eternity? He's preparing us for eternity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Do you want to seek that? Do you want to seek God for sanctification? God, sanctify me holy. Sanctify me holy, I believe You're working in me, Lord. People will say, well, you're trying to become something you already are. Yes, I am already His, but I'm His workmanship, and He is working in me only what He can do. He's changing me. Amen. And He won't be finished until He's finished. And that's when Jesus comes and they're brought to complete perfection. Until that day, He is perfecting Himself in us, little by little and day by day. We sang that song, little by little and day by day. Little by little in every way, my Jesus is changing me. As I look upon his face, he is changing me by his grace. My Jesus is changing me. I believe that with all of my heart. Thank you, Father. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." W-H-O-L-L-Y. Your whole being. He said, I pray your whole spirit, your whole soul and body be sanctified and preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. And you know what the next verse says? Faithful is he who has called you, who will also do it. Do you believe it? Amen. Do you believe it? Faithful is he who has called you, who will also do it. You know how you got saved? You got saved by an active faith. You acted. Your faith acted. You called upon the name of the Lord. You trusted in God for justification. And when you trusted in God, you were justified. At that moment, you were justified. I believe that with all of my heart. And then it's by active faith that we believe God and trust him for our sanctification. How many of you know you need to be sanctified? Yes, we do. Amen. You know, it doesn't mean that you're down on yourself, that you are have a negative attitude of yourself. No, you're a child of God, and God is changing you, amen, into his nature, into his image through Jesus Christ, the pattern son. He's doing the work. Amen. You do the work. You're nothing more than a whited sepulcher that Jesus called them. Huh? No, we want to be real. This relationship is a real thing by active faith. I would like to read, and I'd like to read out of the Amplified. I'd like to read in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 4. And I want to read there verses 3 through 8. And here's what it says. For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated. And that word in King James says that you should be sanctified. The word sanctified means consecrated. How many of you want to be consecrated? That means devoted. How many of you really want to be devoted to God? Everything, oh God, that you've called me to be, I want to be, Lord. Yes. Separated and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice. You know, sexual sin is the number one sin in the works of the flesh. That's the heading of the works of the flesh is sexual impurity. You go to any nation on earth, the number one sin is sexual impurity. This nation is bound by sexual impurity, immorality. And it's true, the church, much of the professing church, they estimate that 68% of men in the church today in America is hooked on pornography. That's alarming. And almost as many women. That's alarming. Wow. But get this, 50% of pastors are hooked on pornography. Huh? Does it matter? Oh, yes, it matters. I can tell you, without holiness, no man is going to heaven. No man. You hooked on pornography, you're not going to heaven. The culture of the church has changed drastically. You would not know the church of the 60s compared to the church of today. It's changed drastically. Now, openly, the church is accepting homosexuals. You know, I don't hate the homosexual, but I know one thing, it's an abomination to God. The word is very, very clear. It's very clear. And you know, God loves. He loves the person, but he hates the sin, and he will have to judge the sin. There are whole denominations now endorsing same-sex marriage. How many of you know that holiness is important to God? Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. That each one of you should know how to possess, control, manage his own body in purity, separated from things profane, and in all consecration and honor. Not to be used in the passion of lust. Talking about your body. Like the heathen who are ignorant and of the true God and have no knowledge of his will. That no man transgress or overreach his brother or defraud him in this matter or defraud his brother in business. For the Lord is an avenger, the avenger of all these things, as we have already warned you solemnly and told you plainly. You see, even back then, the human nature had to be dealt with by the grace of God. For God has not called us to impurity, but to consecration, to dedicate ourselves to the more thorough purity. Are we consecrated? Are we consecrated? How many of you want to be consecrated? Oh, given to the Lord. You know something? Hallelujah. That's a work of God's grace in cooperation with you and I. Amen. Therefore, whosoever disregards, sets aside, and rejects this, disregards not man, but God, whose very spirit, whom he gives to you, is holy, chaste, and pure. Thank you, Lord. I want to read in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. It says this, but we, brethren, beloved of the Lord, ought and are obligated to give thanks always to God for you, because God chose you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and our belief in our adherence to, our trust in, our reliance on the truth. The truth is God's word. Amen. Praise you, God, for your word. Hallelujah. I wanted to read in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to read there some instruction in righteousness beginning in verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain lifestyle received by the tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood. Everybody say the precious blood. The precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise him for that precious blood. Lord, we sang about it this morning. And we thank you, oh God, for your precious blood that covers us, that cleanses us continually, Lord. We thank you for it. Jesus, we thank you for it. We enter into his lifestyle of holiness. How many of you know, as he is, so are we in this world. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in his steps. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the only way it works is through death to yourself. If you don't take your cross and die daily, none of the principles of God's word will work in your life. You can't have holiness in your life. You can't live a holy life without dying to yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We enter into that lifestyle of holiness, His holiness by faith. And we have faith in the work that God is accomplishing in us. Amen. But it's also along with our cooperation with Him. We have to believe. We have to give ourselves to Him in faith. Our life of faith will lead us to a life of holiness. I believe that with all my heart. As we eagerly seek sanctification to be like Jesus. We sing those songs to be like Jesus. We sing those songs, purify my heart. Make me like gold, pure gold. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Again, I want to say it's not a holier than thou. You know, the more that you grow in His grace, the more you will grow in His holiness. And the more you grow in His holiness, the more you'll be like Him. And in humility, you will give yourself. The tension won't be upon yourself. Jesus didn't come to be ministered to. If you come to this church to be ministered to, you're missing what God wants. You come to minister. Amen? You're a giver. You're not a taker. You're a giver. How can I serve you? How can I benefit your walk with God? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And as your pastor, I pray and I cry out to God. I cry out to God for every one of you. I cry out to God for you, myself, my family. God, we want to be ready. When you come, Jesus, we want to be ready. We want to be accepted of you. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want no one to be left behind. Thank you, Jesus. As we are sanctified, Jesus was praying in John 17, and I close with this. He was praying to the Father that He would make us one. And He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I can tell you today, the power of transformation comes through this word. This word will change us. It will transform us in every way. We love you for it, Jesus. And it's the only means. Sanctification is the only means by which we become one with Him. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we recognize you as our Lord, the lover of our souls, the one who cares, Lord, even beyond our understanding. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for every soul that's here today. Lord, you see the heart of every one of us. And I just, Lord, bring this congregation before you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, that you do that work and that you increase our faith to believe you for that sanctification. If you're here today and there's something in your heart that's not right, you have to release that and God will sanctify that. Probably the biggest battle of Christians is love. Jesus commanded us to love everyone as I have loved you. To forgive. If you're here today and there's any person in your past, they could even be deceased, that you have not released forgiveness to, that's a work that God needs to do of sanctifying you and cleansing you. Amen. You know something? God accomplishes His work in many ways. All things work together. There are afflictions that we have in our lives. There's chastisement that comes from the Lord Himself as His child. He will chastise us. There's many ways that God works in our lives, but He's a good God and He loves us. And today, I just want to challenge you to pursue in your walk with God that holiness that I've tried to preach about. Just ask the Lord to give you His heart. Give you His heart. Maybe you haven't committed your life to the Lord. I can tell you, if you haven't given your life to the Lord and you're old enough to know right from wrong, if Jesus would come today, you would not go with Him. You could not go with Him. The promise is only to those that are born of God through receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity today. If you're here and you have not committed your life to Christ, would you raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I need Jesus as my Savior." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, that's an act of faith. You must believe. Amen. Give yourself to the Lord. You young people that are in here today, I challenge you to give yourself to the Lord and pursue a life of holiness unto the Lord and know the joy of God rejoicing over you. He cares and He loves you that much. He wants your life to be His. We thank You for it, Jesus. Amen. Stand up with me. Thank You, Father, for all of Your truth. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Well, it was good to have all of you today. Good to have Dave and Terry from San Diego. That nice, warm place. And Connie, good to see you and have you today. And Hannah, good to see you. Went to see you the other day and you were out. All of you, every one of you are important to the Lord. Amen. Consecrate your life. Do it on a daily basis. Get alone with God. Cry out to the Lord and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give myself to You." Fresh surrender. Amen. Did you know surrender is a voluntary thing? Amen. It has to be out of love. He wants my heart, amen, in such covenant love that I have love that will lay down my life. How many of you want laid down love? That you can lay down your life, amen. Amen. Father, we just thank You. Thank You for the truth, Lord. And thank You, Lord Jesus, that Your coming is very, very near. The signs are about us, Lord, and You told us to look up because our redemption is nearer than when we believed. I believe You, Jesus. And I believe, Lord Jesus, in the great work that You're doing in those that are seeking You in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll see you at 6.